From the Odd Down Race Circuit, welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, we, as you can see, are not at GCN Megabase. We are in the paradise that is Western Australia.
It's quite a tough life, really.
It is, yeah. We won't rub it in, though. Ooh, is that a whale I can see from our luxury car? Actually, I genuinely did just see a whale. Oh, my God. You can't write that, can you? Look at that. It just did a little, what's it called when it does a little... spurt.
Yeah, we saw a jet of water. Anyway.
I can't carry on after that. I've just seen a whale.
Literally, we went, is that a whale? And then in the distance, there was a whale.
Actually a whale.
Just in case you didn't get it from what we were saying previously.
Right. Anyway.
So we just collected ourselves.
Anyway, this week, we are talking about why in some parts of the world, like here in Australia, everyone rides in groups, yet in others, everyone rides on their own. And which one, if either, is better?
Solo versus group ride. We've also got some hot new tech for you, a surprise leader, and some hooliganism over at the Giro d'Italia, and a new FKT in New Zealand. This week in the world of cycling, we learned just how Si and I shaped up at the Seven Gravel Race, because it was just yesterday.
Yeah, we are in one piece, as you can see, but we will save the juicy details for the video about the event that is coming soon. We did learn, though, that contrary to what I said in last week's GCN show, water bottles do still fall out of water bottle cages. Dan knows this because his water bottle slipped out in the first 15 kilometres of Seven Gravel.
And it contained 480 grams of carbohydrates, which is most of what I'd taken with me for the race, unfortunately.
Yeah. Don't put all your gels in one B-dung. Isn't that what they say?
That's the old saying, isn't
it? It was a high-risk strategy, wasn't it?
Well, I did think it was a high-risk strategy before last week when you said that bottles just don't slip out of cages in the modern era.
Yeah. I'd take that back.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
We also learned this week, thanks to the annual Great Commuter Race in Victoria, Canada, that bikes are still faster than cars for getting around that city.
Yeah, and we also learned on a bike path much closer to home that you don't even need a car to transport an extra bike.
Okay, maybe you do need a car to transport a bike. Was that guy choosing to ride the bike with a missing seat post while carrying a perfectly good one on his back?
I mean, it does look exactly like that, doesn't it? Yeah.
Finally this week, we learned that in Australia, group rides rule.
Yeah, or bunchies, as they're known locally. I went on one last week in Perth in what is potentially the fastest bunchie in the world. We've got a video about it coming this weekend, actually.
So I left our hotel in Perth at 5:45. I'm told that because I was still asleep, of course. It was a 6 a.m. meet, which is quite late, apparently, for local group rides. Most bunchies meet at 5:30.
Apparently so, yeah. But the bunchie I went on is one of about 50 early morning group rides that happen each week in Perth. They cater for all abilities and are well attended. So it's a proper culture over here. Mm. And it got us wondering why we don't really have the same thing in the UK.
No, I mean, there's one blindingly obvious reason for that, Si, isn't it? The weather. However, there are a good 4 months where even we in the UK don't have that excuse. From May through to the end of August, the mornings are light and the weather is generally pretty good.
Yeah, sure, there are still some rainy days every week, but there are rainy days here too. Mm. In fact, we've had one or two since we've been here.
I know, we haven't really packed for it, Si, either, have we? But the group rides, despite the rain here, they do continue, albeit probably with fewer riders. Anyway, there should be a period in the UK where we can legitimately get up early, get a group ride done, and be back in time to get to work, get kids ready for school, or whatever else that you need to get done first thing in the morning.
Instead, though, the equivalent scene in the UK seems to revolve around the evening chain gang. Mm. Similar kind of thing to the bunchie, fast group rides that turn into unofficial races, but they take place, as we said, as the sun goes down rather than when it comes up.
Now, one of the reasons that the early morning group rides work over here is the general sort of early morning culture of Western Australia, and I think Australia in general. Cafes here tend to open at 6:30 in the morning, meaning you get to go on your group ride, then stop at the cafe at the end of your ride with your mates and still get home with plenty of time to get everything else done.
Yeah, in contrast to that, where I live, back in Bristol, cafes open at about 8 a.m. on average. And in fact, at the weekend, we only have two to choose from on my side of town, where we can get a decent coffee before 9 a.m. when we get back from our mini bunchy three people.
You told me this earlier, and I still can't believe there's only two cafes near you in Bristol, quite a major city in the UK, open before 9 a.m. Sounds bonkers.
Well, there are one or two chain places, but I wouldn't go there.
No. You've seen dead there.
Absolutely
so.
Not, no.
Meanwhile, in the UK, we seem to have much more of an evening culture. Our cafes might not open that early, but our pubs, they stay open late, don't they?
Yeah, don't you know, Dan? Yeah. Now, you can finish your chain gang having had a few pints at the pub and then still get home with enough time to get a decent sleep.
Yeah, exactly that, Si. Completely different cultures, especially since we're lazy and we therefore don't get up that early the following morning, so a late night doesn't affect us too much. Now, we're making sweeping generalisations here on the GCN show today, of course. There will be plenty of people in the UK who do like to get up early and do their riding early, and probably plenty of Australians who do their rides in the evening.
There are around 1,000 people on these group rides in Perth alone each week. Now, the question is, are they fitter or faster than the people who prefer to ride alone? Well, according to, can I call him my coach? Technically, he's not my coach anymore because the event has just gone. But anyway, my former coach. He said that people who only do group rides tend to get less fit. Now, we're talking about competitive cyclists here. Why? Because essentially they forget to train.
That's what he said, wasn't it? Which sounds a bit weird, though, doesn't it? They forget to train. But it's because those group rides are so fast that it sounds weird that you'd get less fit. You must be getting trained to some degree because of the speeds of the group rides.
You are up to a point, aren't you? But you're not doing anything specific on those rides. What you're doing is governed by those around you. And this is why World Tour pros barely ever train with another rider
anymore
because they have so many specific things to do on a training ride that there's no point even trying to ride with someone else.
It's a bit of a shame in
It is a bit of a shame, isn't it? Yeah.
But at the same time, it clearly works because those World Tour riders turn up to every race these days in peak condition. There are no more sort of training races out there because it's easier to get into shape by training than it is by racing.
Yeah, all that said, you can definitely get faster on group rides even if you don't get fitter. Now, that might sound like a contradiction in terms, but group rides teach you things are virtually impossible to learn on your own.
Yeah, we'll give you a few examples. Things like positioning, keeping your momentum, not using your brakes when you actually don't need to, even bike handling as well. These are all skills that you can pick up very quickly when you're riding in groups, particularly if you have more experienced riders.
Yeah, and they're great skills to learn, aren't they? Whether you want to race or you don't. Now, there is nothing quite like the feeling of a fast, flowing
group ride. It is amazing.
Yeah, it's surprising just how fast you can go with very little effort.
It's that Gran Fondo I did in Dubai side being a prime example. I think I averaged 46 kilometres per hour for 170 watts average.
Yeah, and that is fairly extreme, it's got to be said. But anyway, at the end of the day, none of that really matters. The people who do the group rides here or anywhere else in the world absolutely love them. There is, of course, a massive social upside to them.
Which is not to say that there is anything bad about riding your bike solo. In fact, loads of people love cycling because it allows them to get away from people and just have their own thoughts. But group rides, at every level and ability, are a great way of meeting people and making lifelong friends in many respects.
Yeah. Can I just say, I quite like riding on my own most of the time.
Yeah, but you like your little bunchy as well, don't you?
I do. I think that's it. For me, it's all about a mix. I think having your bunchy with your mates and then having a bit of time to yourself where you can do your sneaky training, then I feel like that's kind of like the perfect blend, isn't it?
I have not done any group rides at all since I started training for Seven Gravel. And there's a reason for that.
I was just waiting for you. I haven't done any bunch rides at all.
Yeah, no, in the last 7 weeks training for this event. The reasons for that are that I have no idea how I'm going to feel each time I step out the door and ride my bike. So A, I don't want to be going faster than I want to because the person I'm with is going better. And B, I don't have to wait for all of them if I'm going better than them.
But that's not a group ride, though, is it?
It's just one other person, yeah. Yeah, and I just don't know if there are that many. There probably are group rides near me. I just don't know when or where.
You just haven't been invited on them, have you?
What we do know is they're not at 6:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning. We don't do that in Britain.
That is true, yeah. Well, anyway, we would love to hear about the cycling culture where you live. Early mornings, late evenings, do you prefer group rides or going out on your own? Or, same as me, perhaps a little bit of both.
Just let us know in the comments section down below. Right, just before we move on to cycling shorts, we're going to do a quick promo of the GCN shop. So we've got a load of new T-shirt designs on the shop at the moment that have just landed, all with a nod to the first men's grand tour of the season.
Yeah, plus we still have all our prints for sale. There are a total of 7 in the collection at the moment, all of which come framed and in a choice of either A3 or A4 sizes.
You can find all the prints and the T-shirts and the rest of our merch by scanning the QR code that's on the screen right now or by heading to shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we're going to start with the news that the two spectators at the Giro d'Italia who tried to... I'm not entirely sure what they were trying to do.
Get attention.
Lunge at, kick, push the riders passing by at 45 kilometres per hour. Anyway, those people have been found by the police.
In part because a friend of theirs filmed the whole thing and posted it to social media.
Yeah, thanks for that, buddy. Anyway, happily, those guys are likely to be charged with endangering public safety at a sporting event. I think that is a good thing, right, in this context.
It's definitely a good thing. Right, onto the racing aspect of the Giro d'Italia now, where Jonas Vingegaard has already started to put his stamp on the race.
Yeah, he's not exactly got a stranglehold on it, though. On the first mountaintop finish, he did take the win, but it wasn't as convincing as many people expected. Felix Gall paced the climb brilliantly, crossing the line just 13 seconds back.
Yeah, Giulio Pellizzari had tried to go with him, paid for his effort and lost over a minute. Felix Gall, though, had been closing in on Jonas Vingegaard over the final few kilometres of that climb. Neither of them, though, are in the pink jersey, at least as we record this. That's currently held by Alfonso Eulalio of Bahrain Victorious. He took enough time on the breakaway on stage 5 to go into the race lead there.
Yeah, UAE's Igor Arrieta won that stage in what appeared to be a competition of who could crash the least. UAE, down to just 5 riders after the second stage, have since won 3 stages, which is not bad, considering their race looked like it was, frankly, a disaster after 2 days.
I think they would have taken that and signed on the dotted line, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, here in Australia, Brendan Johnston and Tiffany Cromwell won the elite events at 7 Gravel in the UCI World Series in Nanuv. Tiffany actually flew past me on the very final climb of the race line. No way I could keep up.
Yeah, I feel like we should point out here that the elite women started a long time
after Dan did. Just in case anybody at home there thinks that I dropped Tiffany earlier on in the race and she only caught back and dropped me on the final climb.
Yes, and there was no surprise that when she came past Dan, she did appear to be flying.
Yeah, I appeared to be stood still at that point.
That's
well.
What she said afterwards, yeah.
Yeah, right, we're not going to give the game away anyway, are we? In the men's race, Johnston actually averaged exactly 300 watts, which were normalised to 345 en route to what we think is his second victory at the race. How did we get on? Pretty well. Some might say surprisingly well at the race Sunday, but as we mentioned earlier, you'll have to wait for the video to come out to get the full story. What we can say now, though, is that we've had an amazing time over here, not just actually at 7 Gravel, but in Western Australia, full stop.
Yep. Now, we met a chap at the end of the race called Sam Shaw. You will undoubtedly remember him from setting a mighty impressive record in New Zealand back in January. He rode the 648 kilometres from Auckland to Wellington without a bathroom break.
I mean, that's not the actual record, lack of bathroom break, is it? The actual thing was the record on his time. 17 hours and 21 minutes. Anyway,
I actually asked him about the bathroom breaks yesterday.
Oh, yeah? What did he say?
He said he had to wee 4 times, but he didn't stop. He just carried on going.
Ah, lovely.
Yeah. He said it was like that scene out of Austin Powers where he comes out of, like, being frozen. Anyway, We digress.
We'll move on.
Yeah.
He finished 10th, incidentally, in the elite race yesterday at Severn Gravel. Fresh off setting another FKT, off-road this time, beating Payson McKelvin's Great Trails record in a time of 21 hours and 40 minutes.
Yep, 390 kilometres with 7,490 metres of ascent.
And no toilet breaks. Or do we not know?
Well, we don't know about toilet breaks.
Not got confirmation on that just yet. We'll get back to you.
I suspect, because it was off-road, he probably stopped a bit.
You'd imagine so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd hope so. Right, we have got some science news for you now. That is from the Journal of Applied Physiology.
Yeah, actually, one of our favourites.
Genuinely is.
Yeah.
We were lying for the others. This is actually from Baker et al, and they've shown that doing 15 minutes of intervals on a bike releases about 2.5 times more stem cells than 45 minutes of just steady riding.
Yeah, now in this case, the research was not about looking to boost your own performance, but interestingly, to provide extra insight in research for stem cell transplants.
Right, moving on, some hot tech for you now. Our mates over at Tailfin have just launched a brand new rack system, which is called the Journey Rack, and they say that it is their most versatile rear rack yet. It can fit to basically any bike with their quick-release system, and it's compatible with traditional pannier bags, as well as Tailfin's own luggage, and it's rated to carry 32 kilograms.
Yeah, it sounds pretty bomb-proof, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Connor has already been using it on his Italy bikepacking event. Knowing how much Connor likes to overpack, I suspect he was pushing that 32 kilos pretty blooming hard.
Meanwhile, Elite have just launched a new pair of gravel-specific wheels, the G42, which are 42 millimetres deep, but a capacious 28mm internal width to pair perfectly with 45mm gravel tyres and above.
Capacious. That's a good word, Dan.
I've not heard that before.
No, I haven't. Now, they weigh in at 1,380 grams and they feature a titanium free hub body.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Just lastly, we've got a competition for you, but we're going to throw over to us. We interrupt ourselves during the GCN show in a beautiful location in Australia to tell you about a brand new giveaway we've got for you this week.
That's right. Super exciting one, this one. This is a Cyclowax chain waxing kit. This is their new performance heater. Yours will be a new clean version. As
I was going to say, this is
this,
not new, this is used.
This heavily used GCN one. But also, how cool is this, right? Cyclowax have knocked up some GCN red wax as well. So this is an exclusive GCN wax. So there's one of these kits available to give away. So if you want to enter, click on the link in the description. These are the first ever truly bespoke chain waxing gizmos, Dan. Did you know that?
Ollie, absolutely. Well, that's why it's so well used. It's Ollie, basically, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but to be fair, I do too, because this means that you don't have to use that swizzle wire.
Mm.
So you just heat it up, put your chain in there, plop it in, wax away.
And it vibrates.
Let it drain.
All the wax into the chain, doesn't it?
There you go. So anyway, I mean, I'm sure we're having a lovely time in Australia. Yeah. We couldn't take this with us. But, you know, there we go.
Good
Get
luck.
Involved.
Back to sign down in Australia.
I hope we had a good race yesterday.
Yeah, me too. Next up, it is time for Hack /Bodge of the Week. You can get involved in this part of the show at globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader. The first one this week comes from Al at DDWB100. With all the different connections and devices, it became tiresome after a long ride fishing for the right connections and wall warts. A USB A to C, USB C to C, minis and micros, oh my. My feeble attempt at colour coding a wire, see the basket, the before picture, was not cutting it. So, rummaging through my garage and purchasing a multiple charging device, I put together this charging station. Now, all equipment has its own parking space. Great for travel too. One unplug and you are off and running. Quick visual inventory check confirms that nothing's left behind or is in use. Left to right, battery charger, radar, bike light, bike computer, iPhone, headphone, heart rate monitor, and watch.
I mean, that seems pretty neat, Dan. All they need now is somewhere for their power meter battery, their rear derailleur battery, their left shifter battery, and their right shifter battery.
Yeah.
And possibly the e-bike battery as well.
It's nearly there, like you said, isn't it?
Yeah, almost, yeah. I mean, in one fell swoop, that illustrates what has become quite bonkers about cycling, and indeed exercise full stop, in the modern era. Does that make us sound really old? I don't know, but that is a lot of batteries.
Well, we met somebody yesterday, or I met somebody, whose race was almost over at Seven Gravel because both their SRAM shifter batteries ran out in the first 10K. They had a spare one in the saddlebag, remarkably, but that didn't fix the other one. A mate who knew how hard this guy had trained for it caught him up and said, look, have the battery out of my shifter. I mean, there's so much that can go wrong when it comes to the electrics on bikes.
It did make me think that he might have been a little careless about checking his battery status before
wasn't
starting.
Well, he wasn't very happy with a local shop who had serviced his bike not long before that.
Oh, is that right?
He hadn't noticed the low batteries on the SRAM shifters.
Do you think it's your shop's job to check your battery status?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know either. No. Anyway, mechanical for the win, isn't that right, Dan?
Yeah, well, mechanical for a decent result, in my experience. Right, what are we saying in hack? I'm saying hack for that.
I'm saying hack, yeah. Yeah, it makes me feel slightly sad, but it's also very cool at the same time. McDowfrey sent in bag for life panniers. My daughter's flatmate's homemade panniers. At least the bag matches. this does look suspiciously like a pair of carrier bags strapped to the back of a bike.
Not just any carrier bags, though. Carrier bags for life, sign. More sturdy than your average carrier bag.
Slightly more sturdy, but will any of those bags actually last for life? No. Not typically.
Well, I've had some for quite a long time. I won't be able to tell you for hopefully quite some time if they've lasted a lifetime, but...
Have you really? Good. You've had some, like old, solid...
Bags for life, like, yeah. Well, when did we start stopping free plastic bags at supermarkets? 8 years ago?
Funnily enough, I can't remember.
I reckon I've had some for about 8 years.
That's impressive.
Nobody around for today's nugget. They were all turning off.
Yeah, it's
in the
true.
That's right. I'm going bodge.
That's 100% a bodge. Okay. Yeah, I don't think panniers cost that much money, to be fair. You can get a second-hand pair for nothing. But anyway, yeah, thanks for sending those in anyway.
Susan VF, hair elastic bands to the rescue. Last month, I went to Tucson, Arizona, to the US to ride gravel for 4 days. On day one, I fell hard and managed not to break my arm, but somehow the impact sheared off half the rear plastic mount for my bike navigation computer, so it wouldn't stay on the holder. For this trip, I needed the maps because I wasn't on familiar roads. I always carry spare hair elastic bands around my water bottles, and thankfully they came in handy for something other than keeping the hair out of my eyes.
Are you going to read all of this? Should we go and make a cup of tea?
I used two hair bands to strap the display to the side of the water bottle I had positioned between my aero bars. I'll leave it there then, so if you get bored.
No, keep going, Dan. All right. We're all riveted.
The broken mount fit nicely in the water bottle groove, so the computer laid flat and stayed put while riding even the bumpiest of gravel roads. I was able to load routes and navigate without getting lost for the rest of the trip. When I got home, I ordered a $10 replacement part, replaced the broken mount, this is key for you, Si, and my computer is as good as new.
That's great. There's also a PS as well.
In case you're wondering why I have red electrical tape on the left side bars, it's to remind me to stay left when I ride in the UK. Love watching GCN. You guys are amazing. Well, aren't you thankful now we got through to the end?
Yeah,
I am.
You
guys are amazing.
Thank you, Susan, for sending that in. Do you know what, actually? That looks blooming neat, doesn't it? I have neither aero bars on my bike, nor do I carry hairbands.
No.
But what a great roadside hack that is.
Yeah, we'll get hack from both of us then. I love the red electrical tape. I love the fact that Susan felt the need to point out why she had it on there in case you dissed the electrical tape that you
Well, I mean, we would have undoubtedly said, why on earth do you think she's got red electrical tape on her? And I love the fact that that's what reminds her, other than the traffic coming directly towards her. But no, that's great. Thanks for sending that one in. Finally then, this one was sent in by Al Gomas. Waterproof DI2. After staying dry on the ride out of Calpe last week with Siempre Ciclismo, this is out in Spain, our bikes got a soaking on the roof of the team car on our way home. The next day's forecast looked similar, so I arrived prepared with a couple of dog poo bags and attached them with a strip of duct tape that I carry with me on guiding duty, covering my DI2. It worked perfectly, apparently, so there we go. And the controls even worked well enough to leave the bags on for the ride home.
There's a PS on this one side as well.
Stick another shrimp on the barbie.
Yeah, that's what it says.
There you go.
Is this a problem? I know on the first Campagnolo electronic gears, the problem that they found was that they were waterproof for when riding, but when they were put on team cars after the stage, the water did penetrate. I thought that was a thing of the past, though.
That's a nugget that not everyone knew, Dan. I think you just dropped an absolute bombshell there.
Have I?
Yeah, oh yeah, 100%. Good,
sorry.
Good fact there. Good fact there. Well, yeah, interestingly, so legend has it, the first edition of DI2 was tested for waterproofness by cyclocross legend Sven Nys, who refused to race it in Belgium until he was happy. So he threw it in his swimming pool in Mallorca overnight, and it still worked the next day, so he's like, yeah, I'll use it. So there you go.
That's another nugget there.
Two nuggets for the price of one.
Throwing nuggets away is unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it would be fine if it wasn't a poo bag, wouldn't it? And I know it's not actually got dog poo in it, but there's just something about a poo bag that even when fresh is just a bit, like, icky.
You don't want to handle it.
Not really. No. I mean, do you? Like...
Well, I have to when I pick up dog poo.
Well, yeah, but that's the whole point, isn't it? It's like, even when you're not going to pick up a dog poo, it's still a poo bag. And so, like, the association is fairly negative, I'd say.
Yeah, OK. I'll go with that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's possibly a better solution. Yeah. But anyway, I'm glad it was neat. And
But sorry, it's a bodge.
It's a bodge. It is absolutely a bodge. Anyway, there we go. Right, that is all for Hacker Bodge this week. As Dan said, keep sending them in. What's the website address?
GlobalCyclingNetwork.com/uploader.
There you go. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. Unfortunately, we don't have one here to illustrate because it bounced out of Dan's bottle cage yesterday.
Yes, you can get yourself a Camelback water bottle by foraging around the Severn Gravel Route in Nanup and trying to find mine that I lost. Anyway, this is the photo we gave you from last week's show. This is a Tour de Romandy peloton coming out the backside of a cow.
It still makes me laugh. I'm sorry, but that is possibly the greatest photo of all time.
Our winner this week is Gillian Leitch, who put Caption Competition, a new type of tailwind.
That is quite good, actually.
Very good, Gillian, yeah.
Yeah, I like that very much. OK, the photo for you to get your teeth stuck into this week...
I wouldn't say that,
sorry. No, that's possibly a poor choice of words now, look at it. There's a lot of arse hanging out. Who's that, Dan?
That is Wilco Kelderman at the end of stage two of the Giro d'Italia over in Bulgaria.
Presumably you recognise him from his numbers as opposed to any other features that you can see.
On the image website we used, it had his name at the top.
Oh, there you go, that's helpful.
I will get you started then. You ripper!
That's not bad, mate.
Thanks very much.
Not bad, yeah. I mean, only because of where we are, but presumably that's why you said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
I thought in context it was great.
Fantastic, yeah. All right. If you think you can...
Get your teeth stuck into that then in the comment section down below. We'll pick a winner next week. Just before we let you know what's coming up on the channel this week, we've got a few of our favourite comments from last week's video, at least most of them, because one is yet to come out as we record this. But anyway, starting underneath last week's show, Marv Mininger, 1835, the edit of Ollie's Slip and Fall is pure comedy gold. Your team is incredible, GCN. We would agree. Sid, the editor of the show that week, did a fantastic job, so much so, we're going to put it back in now.
Do you think next week we can start the whole show with that?
I think we should just use it every week. It is comedy gold, isn't it?
Oh, it is absolutely genius. No Ollies were harmed in the making of that, were they?
Just the ego, as we pointed out last week, not the body.
You can find out actually how Ollie got on after he slipped on his arse this weekend in the video,
where he
tackles the Fred Whitten once again, but this time as a much bulkier, musclier individual.
Builder.
Yeah, basically.
Hashtag masses gas. David Lebenzi, I should say, a GPX file is simply a text file, XML to be precise, which can easily be altered with a minor programming skills. No digital signature, which in my humble opinion would be a good idea to add to a future GPX Plus format. This, of course, in relation to the topic on last week's show, which was cheating in gravel, and the winner of the Tracker 560, who took a couple of shortcuts, cutting 400 metres off the course.
That's right, yeah. Now, in my ignorance, it is a GPX file, isn't it? Because there's no other data attached, not like a TCX file or whatever else. Yeah, I didn't know that.
No, I didn't either.
Well, maybe if you had the whole shebang with all your data and stuff attached, then that might be better. Is that better? Let us know, Davide, because otherwise there is a major flaw in our Strava plan. But, OK, thanks for sending that one in. It's Steve M. I'd go in the field. Okay, so this relates to whether or not you would choose to run away from a cow or a panther. Yeah, it's a decision that many of us face on a fairly regular basis when out riding. Steve M said, I'd go in the field with the cow. It might be one of those rare, calm, friendly ones. The panther, on the other hand, is a cat and will be inclined to eat you, even if not hungry, just because it feels like being a cat. There is a reason why cat lovers, myself included, tend to keep the smaller ones as pets.
Yes, very good, Steve. I enjoyed that.
That's true, yeah. Cows aren't often cruel on purpose, are they? I think when they kill people, it's
just unknowingly intimidating to you, so aren't they?
Basically, yeah.
Underneath the Strive versus Survive Part 2 video, which is myself and Si on our build-up to Seven Gravel, Frank Henriksen put, this channel really is the best TV there is nowadays.
Did you choose that comment?
I chose that comment. I thought it was lovely.
Oh, it is a very nice comment. What We Learned said, I love a good Dan and Si one. It takes me back to 2014, where I wish I still was. The start of that comment seemed really nice, and then the end of it made me feel very old. 12 years ago.
Magic Knight 464. From what I've seen with every presenter's training for every one of these gravel races and events is that the training is never enough.
Wow. I mean, you're going to have to wait for the video, aren't you, to find out if the training was enough.
Yeah, don't cast aspersions just yet.
No, was the training enough to offset having no carbohydrates for 125 kilometres of
riding?
Find
out about that. You definitely will.
Absolutely.
Finally, underneath the 78-year-old that is faster than you, there's, of course, been the legend. That is Sid Barrish, still fit as a fiddle at 78. George's Shed put, you know what I like the most? Sid said hello to everyone and smiled. There's a lesson in life right there.
Good point.
Yeah.
That is really nice, actually, isn't it? That Texas Troublemaker said, I truly think this may be one of the best YouTube videos I have ever seen. In a world full of fake people bidding for attention, it's great to see a genuine person just living their best life. This guy is an incredible inspiration. Mm. So, and that's absolutely true. Do you think a world full of fake people bidding for attention, do you think that's
us, yeah.
That's us as well. Okay, so yeah. Nice to finally get someone real on exactly. GCN at last. Yeah, but no, Sid really, I think, truly is an inspiration, isn't he?
Oh, he's fantastic, yeah. Wolfstand Smool put, I was once picked up by a group of older cyclists. One of them was 74, another was 75. They rode 140 Ks with an average of 30 kilometres per hour. I set myself new life goals that day.
Crikey.
There are some very fit people about. I got overtaken. Well, I'm going to give too much away here, am I? No, I got overtaken by quite a few age groupers who'd started behind me at Seven Gravel.
I had a long conversation with, I think he was a 71-year-old. I started off by complimenting his bike because he had a really badass setup. It's a massive mountain bike tyres on it, but it looked very cool. He's an absolute ripper. He's like, yeah, I try and do 100K a week on my time trial bike just so that, you know, stay in condition for that. And then I spend like another 300K a week on my gravel bike.
Oh, my word.
Probably another 200K a week. I mean, it wasn't quite like that, but it was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Life goals right there. Impressive. Yeah. Looking forward to retirement, Dan, that's for sure.
Talking of impressive, Ollie's going to the gym on Thursday to show you what routines he does there to bulk up. He's put on, what, 8 kilos, roughly?
Yeah, I think he has.
His race weight last October for the National Hill Climb Championships. Genuinely, people would really want to see more of what Ollie had done and what he's been doing after his last video in the gym with you and Connor. And so here he is, giving you all of those details.
Yeah, and what you also need to watch then is Sunday's video where we see whether or not Ollie's extra mass gives him extra gas for the Fred Witten. I think the results might surprise you, to be fair.
Yeah.
It might. In between, we have video on Saturday, which is from right here in Western Australia, where I tackled what is legendarily the world's fastest group ride. So, wish me luck, even though it happened last week, but you know what I mean.
Yes. Right, that brings us to the end of the GCN show. You'll be waiting for the nugget. I've just realised that the nugget I had waiting for you was about my bottle falling out at the... I think we may have mentioned that already.
We have, Dan, but what we haven't mentioned is what happened afterwards. How did you get carbohydrates for the rest of the race, Dan?
Stephen, the guy that was piloting Stefan around the course to film us, he gave me a bottle.
Did he? That was nice of him.
It was, yeah. It's quite sweet, so I presume there was some sort of carbs in there. After the race, I asked him where he got it from. He said, from the floor. Discarded, or it'd come out of somebody else's bottle cage.
All right.
It is still a thing, Si.
Did he know what was in it?
No idea.
Then
another guy that was helping us, called Matt, gave me two Camelback, not coveted because they weren't GCN ones, but Camelback podium water bottles.
They were a nice colour. I'd complimented you.
They were,
afterwards.
Yeah, mauve. And they were full of sweet stuff as well. I asked him where he got them from, and he said, from the floor. So he didn't know what was in them either. But whatever was in them got me through. I also stopped at a feed station, grabbed a load of cookies and Haribo.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did also say that you nearly stopped and picked up a half-empty gel wrapper.
I was tempted. I was genuinely tempted. I looked like, that's definitely not a finished gel. There's carbs in that, which I might need.
Okay, you won't have to wait too long to see that video from Seven Gravel. I think it's out in a couple of weeks, isn't it? But anyway, thank you so much for joining us for the GCN show once again this week. I'm going to go back to whale watching, if that's all right. Well, we will see you back home, I guess.
Next week.
Nice one. Right, see you then.